I notice it most clearly with music, and it's a listening process, the kind of, you're paying attention to what other people are doing, and it's an interactive, live, ongoing process of staying in the moment, you know, staying tuned in, fending off fears and intentions, kind of, you know, to try to really be in the now. You can't separate how something is done from the result. In other words, honesty in the process leads to honesty in the product. So the truth of the product depends upon that. So you can't cheat your way to a product without also expressing the fact that you've gone off the tracks in the process itself. So it's a built-in kind of honesty that is demanded. Flow is so important. In fact, the idea of flow is identical with the feeling of being in the zone or in the groove. Art is the way we present ourselves to the world. And that's not just how you get up in the morning and comb your hair or whatever, you know, what you put on. That's part of it. But basically, it's our whole relationship to being in the world, being alive, expressed through the way we make our way through decision-making to do what we feel needs to be done. And that whole process is expressive. But almost all the way through art, the aesthetics of how things are done and how the process plays out depends on a certain level of awareness and decision making that has to do with quality. And quality is a major issue. How do you arrive at qualities that elevate life for yourself and everybody else that you come in contact with?
I don't know. What are you doing referring to quality in terms of art, Dwayne? I mean, ever since The Fountain, I'm not sure. I don't know how.
I know. It's gone off track in many ways because, and again, this is why this show is so important to me and I hope to everybody else. And that is because art has been, in our time, has become something that seems strange. Like, what's going on? What are they trying to say? You know, why is this? Why am I looking at this in the visual arts? Let's stay with that because that's what I know the best. So people are thrown off by that. And there's a feeling that art is something remote, something mysterious, something made by weirdos, you know, who are kind of on the fringe of society.
But something happened with art. It's almost as though what was good critically was not apparent to the eye, to most people.
I'm asking that question myself. I know historically where it comes from. The Impressionists were really surprised by the coming in of photography in the 19th century. And photography gave them some new ideas and some new ways of looking at things. But they started loosening up their process, and so they started showing more of the process so you could see the brushwork. And something similar was going on in music, but it was an opening up of and putting a place of emphasis on process.
Oh, that's like deconstructing.
It is deconstructing because people wanted, before that, in Europe, the painters tried to hide their brushstrokes. Now, that's just, that was relatively temporary because if you go back to Rembrandt, you know, in Rembrandt, he actually showed us the process pretty much, you know, even if it was a portrait or whatever, you could still really see his brushwork and you could really appreciate it. But then there was this whole thing with neoclassicism where everything got so polished that you couldn't see it. But then people like Delacroix and Goya, and there were always these people who kind of tried to break out of that. And there was a feeling that the public liked things, you know, if this is a painting of a horse, it should look like a horse, right? You know, and then the artists started kind of getting to be more fringe people because they were no longer supported by the church or the state. And so they got off on this side and they started doing art for each other more than for the public. I think that's really what happened. And in that process, they put down this idea of just pleasing the bourgeois, you know, the common middle class person.
You're talking early 1900s here.
Yeah, right. And they wanted to just be part of the leading edge. In fact, they were very interested in what was going on in science, you know, molecular discovery of the molecular world under which all appearances are really coming from. And so they, you know, that led them to start to develop languages like Cubism, which are really very challenging to the ordinary observer, but very influential to other artists. So we got into this thing where art became a kind of almost like a ghetto or a group of people talking to each other. I mean, there's a lot of that in science as well. You know, you can't follow astrophysics or molecular biology or whatever without knowing what's going on in the field, and then you have to be a specialist. And that's kind of what's happening in art.
Is there something about the way artists work that is transferable, you think, that can be used in other fields?
The art processes develop awareness in us, give us a sense of almost, really, not even almost, of reverent, a sense of reverent participation with materials and with nature. Nature is the great teacher. And as we work with wood or charcoal or paint or glass, or it's like with cooking. With cooking, you have to really tune into the materials, and each different material you use in cooking is absolutely crucial to how it comes out in the end, right? And with art, it's the same thing. If you're going to be a painter, you really have to understand what paint itself wants to do and what it doesn't want to do. You know, it's almost like giving it a personality. You know, clay, when you're working with clay, you have to stay, if you're centering the clay, you yourself have to be centered as you push the clay around. The clay, well, you can push it so far, but then there are these limits, and staying with it, tuned in to what the possibilities are and what the limits are is absolutely essential. And that goes through all of life, right? I mean, it relates to child rearing, it relates to marriage, it relates to friendship. You know, how do you work with anything other than yourself and interact with that other in ways that are constructive and beneficial? And what's sad, well, one of the things I notice is that when a culture is invaded by another culture and people try to suppress a culture, one of the things they get rid of are the arts. You know, tyrants want to get rid of the arts. First of all, they don't like the messages that artists come up with that are often critical. They don't like the energy of art. You know, the Puritans said that a fiddle or a violin is a work of the devil because it would get people excited, and they got worried about that because they couldn't control people when they were excited. You know what I mean? There's a whole lot of qualities in the arts that let people know something about their own individual powers and their own creative possibilities. Arts teach things just by themselves, that the awareness, qualities of awareness, qualities of commitment, qualities of interacting with great sensitivity. I use the word reverence because that's almost what it takes to really understand what you're working with, you know, and bring out that along with your own intentions so that you see what materials are capable of doing and what you yourself are capable of doing, but not just on the levels of showing off. See, an awful lot of contemporary art, I think, has gone really... in terms of what we might call the popular attitude toward art, one of the things people think of is, oh, this is something for wealthy people, you know, who can afford it. You know, it ends up in a museum, or you know, it's. And of course, I think museums are wonderful, but there's this feeling that somehow It's not really mainstream life, and that's what I want to get beyond, because it has so much to offer mainstream life. Unfortunately, in our culture, it's frequently used to sell things.
So interesting, Duane, because so many people in there's the art department enrollment is shrinking.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
But more and more people are getting into visual arts because it's the way into media and advertising.
See, this is so sad because, I mean, people want to be expressive. We all want to know that we exist, that we are in the world, and that we count, and that we have a certain dignity of our own. So we want to be appreciated for that. And how do we do that? Well, you know, the ad says, "Oh, if you get a new, you know, Ferrari or whatever, you know, a new Cadillac or whatever." I mean, it's something else, but it's and then we end up polluting the world and changing the climate because we're all driving these big monstrous cars that we don't really absolutely need to have. We could have a more, you know, healthy kind of vehicle that would not be so destructive to the climate. So that's just...
Well, what's your aesthetic, Duane? I look at your life. What is your aesthetic? What to you is beautiful?
Well, first of all, I notice things quite often in my moving through a day. I see things that I just think are so charming. It could be a shadow of... leaf shadow on the ground in front of me. It could be a particular interaction between people and bicycles or on the street, or it could be almost anything that comes together as some sort of meaningful interplay between things. And
I wish you had an Instagram account.
I really love living, and I love the fact that I can see these things. And I used to say in class, I said, you know, it saves you a lot of money if you don't have to pay a lot of money for entertainment. Because I feel that I'm fully entertained all the time by the way I see the world, the way I interact with the world. I'm cleaning up after dinner, and I noticed, just I'm sort of self-observing. And what I observe is that I'm washing. We have some nice knives for chopping and stuff, and I notice how carefully I'm cleaning those knives, and then laying them kind of in a pattern, you know, before I put them away, you know, and even the putting away. All of these things are aesthetic decisions. Aesthetic engagement is working with the things of life in such a way that you're handling them in a way that's constructive and beneficial to yourself and everybody around you. Working with sensitivity and awareness so that you're doing things with ultimate sensitivity in the moment, making sure that your behavior is not negatively impacting what you're working with, including all other people. We've got huge needs, and we need to be able to be working with the materials of life in ways that are constructive to everybody concerned. And it's just, I mean, look how hard it is just in a marriage to stay tuned in to what the needs of the other person are. So it's really how we interact with everything other. And the person you love most and care most about and you're married to is the prime person representing the whole rest of the universe, because that person is right there for you to really tune into, and you can learn so much. I've been married for 54 years, and I'm learning so much from this wonderful person that I'm married to that I can't believe it. I'm still hearing things from her and learning things from her that I never heard before. You know, and I've been married to her for over half a century. You know what I mean? It's chicken skin stuff. The other thing that's so important is stories bring us together. And the reason you're reacting the way you are is because you're resonating from your own experience. And the resonance is what happens when two guitars, one's being tuned and the other one starts vibrating with the same, that's resonance. And that's a very important part of the process, because when you resonate with the audience, suddenly the process becomes complete, in not complete in the dead-end sense, but complete in terms of fulfillment. Yeah. It's just trust the process.
In other words, what does that mean?
That means letting the voice of the process, the integrity of the process, be your guide, so that you don't try to impose your will on things. You know, like, I see it in teaching. If you're teaching and you come in with a heavy-handed agenda that you force on the students, and you ignore where the students are coming from and where they want to be going, you're not doing right by the students. So in my mind, it's similar to what happens if somebody tries to force their will on clay, for example, and then the whole thing falls apart and it doesn't work. If you try to force your will on watercolor as opposed to letting watercolor really just be a staining method, you know, with a light touch, you end up with a mess. It doesn't work. You gotta really go with what's happening. And this is true of all playing in musical instruments. You can't just force your will on whatever the instrument is and expect it to come out beautifully. It doesn't work. You have to dance with the medium in a way that is totally totally tuned in to what the medium wants to do and does best.
Oh, that is so true. And finding that out takes years.
Yes, it does.